This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I recently asked a representative, well, actually a resident of Texas, why Texas could not pass the Ten Commandments. He said, because they're too heavy for us to carry. I thought, that's a fascinating response. Maybe there's more truth than poetry in it. They're too heavy for us to carry. Well, what if they're not on stone? What if they're just on a piece of paper? Is that too heavy for carrying? Indeed, it is. It seems like it's too heavy even for the Supreme Court to carry, even though the Ten Commandments are engraved in bas-relief over the entire court, the Supreme Court, when they're in session. Go figure, my friends. And Louisiana, it seems, doesn't have a problem carrying the Ten Commandments, at least in theory, because on June 19th, Louisiana's Governor Jeff Landry signed a House Bill 71 into law, and beginning next year, the new law will require all elementary and secondary schools and universities that receive state funding to display the Ten Commandments in every single classroom. In fact, the law also requires that commandment displays include text explaining how studying the Ten Commandments has a long history in American public education. No school or university must spend funds creating these displays. They can accept monetary donations or the displays themselves to comply with the new mandate. So, Louisiana has become the first state in the country to require public schools to display the Ten Commandments in the classroom since the Supreme Court declared such a requirement unconstitutional more than 40 years ago. So, the legal question that looms over the entire issue is whether mandating the Ten Commandments be hung in a classroom violates the Establishment Clause, which forbids the government from taking any action to establish a state religion or show favoritism to any religion or non-religion. We're going to take a look at the Ten Commandments here today on Viewpoint. I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And I thought the answer by the resident of Texas was quite fascinating. Maybe more truth than poetry, more truth than humor. We didn't pass the Ten Commandments in Texas because they're too heavy for us to bear. Whoa. He didn't say to bear, he said just too heavy for us, meaning by implication, well, it's that stone stuff. It's those Ten Commandments engraved on stone. How could we possibly carry those? Well, how is it that the Supreme Court itself, the building, has in bas relief over the bench of the Supreme Court justices, 12 so-called nine reasonable men and women, appointed for their legal prowess? How is it that that could have existed for all these years? And Barack Obama actually wanted to cover it up. Did you know that? He wanted to cover it up. Just like he covered up the statue of Jesus that was in the background of one of his speeches. It seems that America is in a serious process of cover-up. In fact, the same Barack Obama didn't like the U.S. Constitution because, from his point of view, the Constitution should have told him what he could do and not what he couldn't do. We just don't want to be told what we can't do, do we? We don't want our parents to tell us what we can't do. We don't want the government to tell us what we can't do. How is it we could allow the government to tell us what we can't do, when God himself, the creator of government and of the universe, we deem to have no authority to tell us what we can't do. And by the way, did you know that there's only one commandment that tells us specifically what we should do? Did you know that? So here on Viewpoint today, we're going to talk about these 10 commandments. Some call them the 10 suggestions. And who knows? Years ago, 1998, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who was a very, very popular radio personality, a Jewish woman, counselor, wrote a book called The Ten Commandments, The Significance of God's Laws in Everyday Life. She was a New York Times bestseller. She did. She was. How could she write such a book? She says, everybody knows the Ten Commandments, right? Well, let's see. There's something about stealing, something about lying and murdering. But that's only three. What are the rest of them? Well, more people claim to live by the Ten Commandments than seem to know what they are, let alone what they mean. And she says, in this modern jet-propelled, nuclear, genetic, and engineered world, how important are they anyway? Each day, we make innumerable decisions about things that don't really seem earth-shattering in importance. So what if we break a promise? So what if we're married but find passion in another bed? What if we're too focused on work, TV, or clubs to spend time with the family? So in the Ten Commandments, the book, Dr. Laura Schlesinger said, known as America's Mommy, by the way, and the conscience of talk radio, reminded us that it's in everyday decisions that we give meaning to our lives or diminish it. And then in her book, she shows us why adhering to the higher ideals and consistent morality found in the commandments can create a life of greater purpose, integrity, value, and lasting joy. Not to mention pleasing God. That should be the highest priority, but apparently it's not. So what are these Ten Commandments? Well, let's take a quick look at them. Do you remember them, by the way? Very few people can remember the Ten Commandments. As I recall, the last statistic showed that of born-again Christians, only, well, the majority could not name more than six of the Ten Commandments. Could not name more than six. And of the rest of the country, well, they'd be lucky to get three or four. So apparently that which is engraved on the Supreme Court in bas-relief over the judge's dais, maybe it's important that they be there at least to remember or remind the whole country that God has something to say about our lives. But then again, the resistance is we don't want God to say anything about our lives. We want to do what we want to do. Ain't nobody called God or anybody else going to tell us what we can do and what we can't do. Right? Well, that's exactly what I believe it was Bertrand Russell said. Said, you know what? I nobody's going to tell me about this evolution that God created, because if God created, then he has the right to tell me what to do. He's not going to invade my sexual life, he said. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Today, we are taking a careful look at the Ten Commandments. And it's become, actually, a matter of national interest and concern, again, because the state of Louisiana actually has now mandated, by law, that every state elementary school, junior high school, high school and state-sponsored university or government-sponsored university must contain a copy of the Ten Commandments in every single classroom, not just somewhere in the institution, but in every single classroom. Why do you think they've decided to do that? We need to ask that question. Why is that a political move? Or is it something very different? Interestingly, Donald Trump told a group of evangelicals that they can't afford to sit on the sidelines of the 2024 election. He said, you got to go out and vote. And he endorsed displaying the Ten Commandments in schools and elsewhere while speaking to a group of politically influential Christians in Washington. He drew cheers as he invoked the new law signed in Louisiana this week, requiring the Ten Commandments to be displayed in every public school classroom. He said, has anyone read Thou Shalt Not Steal? I mean, has anybody read this incredible stuff? It's just incredible. Trump said at the gathering of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, they don't want it to go up. It's a crazy world. So Trump, a day earlier, posted an endorsement of the new law in Louisiana, saying, I love the Ten Commandments in public schools, private schools, and many other places. For that matter, read it. How can we as a nation go wrong? Well, that's right. How can we as a nation go wrong? But we have gone wrong. In 1982, the United States Supreme Court struck down any posting of the Ten Commandments on public property. 1982, in our schools. You can't put the Ten Commandments in our schools. That was in 1982. In 1961, they got rid of the Bible. In 1962, they got rid of prayer in the public schools, or it was vice versa. It doesn't really matter. All the same motivation. And then by 1982, 10 years later, 20 years later, they got rid of the Ten Commandments. You see the progression? Now, when we did that as a country under color of law, what we actually did was declare we are no longer, as a country, going to be under God's law, his viewpoint, his opinion, indeed his governance. We're on our own now. Does it look like maybe we're on our own then? Exactly. You wonder what's happened in all the chaos that swept the streets of America for the past 15, 20 years, and more specifically in the last 5 years, 6 years? It's because we abandoned the Ten Commandments. Even our law enforcement officers won't uphold them. Even when they go along with existing law in our country. Because we've allowed our feelings, you see, to become Lord, and the commandments, well, they're just not compassionate enough. You get the point? Not compassionate enough. And yet the Bible says that God is a God of compassion, that his mercies are new and faithful every morning, that he's willing to forgive when we diss his word, his will, and his ways, and disobey his commandments. If we'll confess our sin, own up to it, then he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But apparently, we don't feel like we need to be cleansed from unrighteousness anymore because we're pretty cool people. And God loves us so much, we're told in our churches today, that he's chasing us down. We don't need to repent of our sin. We don't even need to confess it, because actually, how would we even know if we sinned? I mean, even Dr. Robert Schuller said years ago from his Crystal Cathedral, he said, look, it's abuse to tell people they're sinners. They don't need to be told they're sinners. They just need more self-esteem. You begin to get the drift. So we've laid out a pretty good understanding of the breadth of this issue here and how it applies in our country. So with that in tow, let's take a look at what the Bible actually says And we find it in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. Well, that's the beginning. I am the Lord your God. Well, you don't like it if you don't want to believe that he is the Lord your God. So you're going to diss him from the get-go, right? I'm the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Negative. You shall have no other gods before me. Next, you shall not make unto you any graven image or likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's in earth beneath, or that is the water underneath the earth. In other words, you shall have no other thing to worship, just me. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord your God am a jealous God. So Oprah Winfrey, several years ago, said she was so delighted to go to Dr. Smiley's church in Houston and sit on the front row because he just said such nice things. She says, I don't want to go to church to feel bad when I leave. I want to go to church to feel good. So I don't worship a jealous God, she said. Well, God himself says he's a jealous God. So what God does she worship? Well, she worships the God of her feelings. And that's the message of virtually everything that Oprah Winfrey has done during her professional life, including carrying on discipleship classes for 5 years, devoting millions of dollars to convince people that they should not worship the God of the Bible, but they should worship a God of their own making. I'm a God, I'm a jealous God, God says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Notice God says, I show mercy unto those who keep my commandments. God has not committed himself to show mercy to you, to me, or anyone else if we're not willing to submit ourselves to his word, his will, and his ways, and his commandments. It says, no, you're not part of my family. You are not entitled to take up my word or my promises in your mouth if you are not submitted to my word, my will, and my ways, beginning with the Ten Commandments. He goes on to say, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord would not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. So we have three commandments now, all of which are pointing ourselves to God. That comes first. No gods before me. No graven images to substitute for worship. And you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The first three are orientation toward God. Now, the remainder of the commandments deal with the application of that in our relationship with one another. Do you think that might be relevant in a country that claims to be a nation under God? You think so? Our relationships with one another? So let's take a look at them. The middle one, the fourth commandment, is the hinge commandment. We'll get to the hinge commandment in a few moments. But the fifth commandment is, I'll turn the page here, make sure I get it exactly right. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. So God said, in Malachi chapter 1, to the children of Israel, if I be a father, then where is my honor? Why aren't you honoring me? What he's saying there is, you're not doing my will. You're not keeping my commandments. And we're going to talk specifically about which commandment it was that he was talking about, which is a serious commandment from God's viewpoint. Commandment number 6, you shall not kill. You shall not murder. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, you are to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And number 10, you shall not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Do you know what the New Testament word for that really is? Thou shalt not lust. Because lust is of the flesh. Lust wants something that somebody else has and is determined to get it. Lust is directly related to envy. God says, no, we're not going to go there. You shall not covet. Now, all of this happened, and the next verse in Exodus chapter 20 is, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak with us, we will hear, but don't let God speak with us, lest we die. Now, that presents to us the whole understanding of the fear of the Lord, doesn't it? Why did God present his Ten Commandments, his moral law? That's what it is. The Ten Commandments are the moral law. Why did he present his Ten Commandments to Israel, which was supposed to display his glory and the wonder of his word to the nations? Why did he do that in a context that was so terrifying? The mountain, Sinai, was on smoke. It was a terrifying scene. The whole place shook. The trumpet sounded. It went louder and louder and louder, we're told. And the people were terrified. You say, well, we don't want people to fear God. We just want them to love him. That's what one pastor said. In fact, he said, we don't want people to know about the end times because that might make them fear. We just want them to love Jesus. Well, how much are they going to show their love for Jesus when persecution comes and they're given the opportunity to either submit to the commandments of men and take the mark of the beast, or to reject the mark of the beast because that would require them to break the commandment that says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Are you beginning to see how this works? So the fear of the Lord is the foundation for the effectiveness of the Ten Commandments. If we resist the Ten Commandments and we don't like them, what it's telling us is we don't fear the Lord. We don't want to fear the Lord. We want to worship a different kind of God, one made in our own image that we like, which is what Time Magazine told us we were doing on April 5th, 1993, in their feature article called The Church Search. Americans are flooding back to church, but church will never again be the same because Americans are worshiping a custom-made God, one made in their own image. That's the last time that Time Magazine ever gave us a meaningful presentation of anything worth listening to. And then Time Magazine openly and notoriously rejected the fear of the Lord, the commandments, and now has become nothing but a rebellious liberal screed to support everything that is contrary to the commandments. Amazing. We'll be back, friends. Stay tuned. This is Viewpoint. Our viewpoint might just determine destiny concerning this issue. What do you think?
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
We're talking today about God's moral law. We refer to it more commonly as the Ten Commandments. They are the distillation of God's summary viewpoint concerning our relationship to Him and our relationship to one another. Would that seem to be important? Should it be important? Our relationship with the Creator and our relationship with one another based upon our relationship with the Creator? I would think so. But then there are a lot of people in this country that say, well, that's just Christian nationalism trying to get the Ten Commandments on display in our country. Christian nationalism. What does that have to do with Christian nationalism? From the very get-go, this country was premised on biblical authority. From the very beginning, whether it be in 1607 with the there at Berkeley Hundred in Richmond, in Virginia, or at Jamestown, or out there at Virginia Beach with the planting of a cross, or up in 1620 with the landing of the Pilgrims, whose opening document was, "In the name of God, amen, so be it." America's first democratic document, "In the name of God, amen." And then in 1630, a godly attorney leading four boatloads of Puritans to the Massachusetts Bay Colony and penning a charter, because they were outside the Virginia Charter, so he penned a charter for that group of people called a model of Christian charity, which summarized in practical terms, applicational terms, highly relevant to the ongoing existence of that colony, the Ten Commandments and how they would be applied, particularly in terms of the salvation of Jesus Christ in the ministry of the gospel. But the Ten Commandments were given specifically to the Jews. That does not mean that they weren't given to the rest of the world, but they were given to the Jews to express to the rest of the world in the way they conducted themselves. That's how the Jewish people historically have seen their calling as a chosen people, chosen to display God's governance in the world, so that the people in the world, the nations, the heathen, would give glory to God, would worship Him that made heaven and earth, and would fear Him. Did you know that the last warning and message, the last warning and gospel message that God gives to the earth is found in Revelation chapter 14? It's an angel. The angel with a loud voice, just like the loud voice at Mount Sinai that delivered the Ten Commandments, this angel will deliver a message that will be heard all over the world. Just like all the Jewish people heard, they weren't called Jews at that time, they were Hebrews, standing at the base of Mount Sinai, about 3 million of them, 2.5, 3 million, and they all heard the message. They all heard the voice. They all heard the trumpet sounding. They all experienced the shaking. And they were terrified. So here's what the angel will say. Fear God. That's the first thing. Fear God. Glorify Him. In other words, He's God. No other gods before Him. Glorify Him. And worship Him that made heaven and earth. In other words, He's the creator. He's the creator of all things. Not evolution. He is the creator of all things. That's the final message of that God gives through an angel, through a loud voice to the entire world just before Christ returns. Fear God, glorify Him, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and by definition, everything in it, including humankind. If those three things do not qualify you, you're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Your eternal destiny is seriously in danger. That's the distillation that God gave. But the Ten Commandments, you see, are the distillation of God's moral law from His viewpoint. Not your viewpoint, not Barack Obama's viewpoint, not the Democrat Party's viewpoint, but from God's viewpoint. We need to understand that. And it's premised first in the environment, the moral and spiritual environment of the fear of the Lord. That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, again, I would urge you for your own edification, and that you might use this information to help your families, your children, your grandchildren, pastors, your congregations, because I've written an entire book on this subject. It's called The Secret of the Lord. Now, it wasn't secret at Mount Sinai, but at now, these many thousands of years since Mount Sinai, the people have abandoned the fear of the Lord. In fact, in America, for the past 50, 60 years, we've been in a full court press to abandon the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the foundation for everything. That's why the angel in Revelation 14, the very first thing he says is, fear God. In other words, you must have incredibly awesome respect for God. He is God. There is none other. Get it through your thick head and heart. He is God. So God begins in saying, I am the Lord your God. Now, the Jewish people take that as part of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. Maybe we should too. If we don't recognize that He is the Lord our God and have awesome respect for Him and the fear of the Lord that keeps us from breaking His moral law and that allows us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, if we don't have that understanding, we're in deep trouble. That's why our churches are in deep trouble, friends. That's why we're on the near edge of the second coming and totally, radically unprepared. From the church house to the White House to the schoolhouse to the courthouse and maybe your house. Get a copy of the book, The Secret of the Lord. It's based on Psalm 25:14. One day I was reading through the Psalms and came across this passage, Psalm 25:14, that says this, "The secret of the Lord is with them who fear Him. And to them, He will show His covenant." And it was like the Holy Spirit then showed a laser beam right down on that verse, and it leaped off the page, and God put in my heart, you must write a book. This is what you'll write the book about, the secret of the Lord, about the fear of the Lord, to help your countrymen, even among professing Christians, understand how far we have gone away and what we must do if we want to restore God's blessing in our lives. So, the secret of the Lord. Now, God wants people, he doesn't want to keep it secret. He calls things a secret or a mystery because he wants us to seek out those things with all our heart. It remains a mystery until we seek it out. It remains a mystery, a secret, until we seek it out. So he wants us to do that. So the entire book, The Secret of the Lord, is based upon the importance of the fear of the Lord. It's the foundation for everything. It's the foundation for salvation itself. If you don't have the fundamental fear of the Lord, then your salvation is phony. You may not like to hear that, but it's phony. You know why it's phony? Because you can't possibly be saved if you haven't started with the fear of the Lord that caused you to realize that you are a sinner in complete disregard of God out of his favor, that would bring you to a place of repentance, confession of sin and repentance. You're not going to confess sin and repent if you don't have the fear of the Lord. And so many people now are being ushered into our churches. These thousands of baptisms that are echoing now across the country as if somehow that's a great revival. I hope it is. I wish it were. But we don't hear anything about confession of sin and repentance. Baptism doesn't save you. It's a symbol of that which has already taken place in your mind and in your heart, confessing your sin, receiving Christ as your Savior, his sacrifice for you, and determining to walk in righteousness and holiness and repentance for the rest of your life. If that is not the foundation, it's a false salvation. That's why you can have so many hundreds of thousands, even millions of professing Christians now in our country that are in our churches that have never really confessed their sin. They haven't come clean with God. And the fear of the Lord is the foundation for all of that, and the foundation for the Ten Commandments. So when Barack Obama wanted to cover up the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court, it evidenced he despised the whole concept of the fear of the Lord. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they loved one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Such a blessing to be able to come before you day after day after day to talk about the things that matter most. The things that matter most from God's viewpoint, maybe not from the Republican Party's viewpoint, maybe not the Democrat Party's viewpoint, maybe not from your personal viewpoint or whatever, but from God's viewpoint. Because you see, if we miss the foundations, and the Ten Commandments are the very foundation, In fact, they're the foundation for salvation. No, you're not saved by keeping the commandments. You're saved because you realize you can't keep them, haven't kept them, and desperately need a Savior. Now, the Jewish people haven't yet accepted that understanding. So they believe that their primary goal is just to keep the Ten Commandments. And they have to do various mitzvah, good works, in order to do that. Well, it's okay to keep the commandments, and it's okay to want to keep them and to live according to them. But if you're truly saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you're truly seeking Him with a whole heart, and you're truly seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, guess what? You're going to do the Ten Commandments not because they are commandments. You're going to do them from the heart. You're going to go beyond what they say to do them in spirit and in truth. So that's what Jesus was saying, you see, when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks upon a woman with lust in his heart has committed adultery already." Well, that's the one commandment we didn't read. Remember, I said there was one commandment we didn't read. And that one is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Did you know that throughout the Old Testament, God repeatedly accused Israel and Judah of committing adultery? Now, he wasn't just talking about physical adultery. He was talking about spiritual adultery. Now, what did he mean by that? First of all, the prophets, including the prophet Jeremiah, continually accused the religious leaders of his day of adultery. Under every high tree, on every high hill, they were committing adultery. He said, God cannot bless you. You're in deep trouble. I'm warning you. Stop this ungodly behavior. Get your heart right. He said, is not my word, God's word, like a hammer that breaks the rock of your heart in pieces? Is it not like a fire and like a sword that pierces your heart and that burns up the dross of your life? He's talking about the way the people disregarded the Ten Commandments and everything that they meant. You see, the Ten Commandments are not, they're the, shall we say, the distillation of God's moral law in the simplest possible format. But what Jesus said was, the people didn't get it. They didn't understand that those were dealing with not just their behavior, but why they did what they did or why they didn't do what they didn't do. In other words, their heart, their motivation. So God is just as concerned about our attitudes as he is about our actions. He's just as concerned about the reasons why we do or don't do something as he is about whether we do or don't do it. Because you can claim to keep the Ten Commandments and do so out of monstrous pride in your heart. Did you know that? You can. It's not a matter of pride because not one of us is capable of saying we've kept all the commandments the way God wanted us to keep them, where the attitude and actions were congruent with an integrity of faith and trust in the Lord, obedience to his word, his will, and his way. Now you can understand why the word obey has become the most hated word in the church today, as confessed by many different pastors on this program live on the air. A four-letter word, O-B-E-Y. Why don't we want to obey? We don't like God commanding us to do anything. We want to do what we want to do. We want his blessings, but we don't want the burden that comes with obeying God. We don't want to fear God. We just want to have nice feelings. We don't want to have the awesome respect that he is God. We want him to be our buddy. Jesus said, I'll call you friends on one condition, if you do whatsoever I command you. That will cause me to declare you my friends. Abraham was called a friend of God. Why? Because he did what God said. Was he perfect? No. So this issue is huge. And I want to urge you, if you have not done so, to get a copy of the book, The Secret of the Lord. It's a $20, excuse me, a hardbound book, $20. It's yours for $15 on our website. $15 on our website, saveus.org. I hope you'll get it. It'll encourage your heart. Every single promise of God is predicated on the fear of the Lord as the foundation. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. For writing a check at $5 for postage and handling, again, it's on the website, saveus.org. Avail yourself of it. These are tools that have been prepared for you to prepare the way of the Lord in your life, in your family, in your congregation, before the coming of the Lord. And remember, he's not coming back for a bride with spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. He's God. Jesus is God. Jesus was the Word made flesh. He lived an obedient life, the only one who ever traversed this earth in the flesh that obeyed God fully. And because of that, God gave him a name that was above every name, that the name of Yeshua, Jesus, every knee should bow. I thought we weren't supposed to bow to anyone other than God. He is God. Every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Guess what? Jesus is going to be the judge, not the Father. It has been given unto Jesus to judge the earth in righteousness, the scripture says, and the people with his truth. Not the Father, Jesus. I don't think very many pastors have taught that. So people somehow think that Jesus is Mr. Nice Guy and God the Father, well, we shouldn't get very close to him. No. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he tried to translate there in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, you have heard it said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks upon a woman to lust has committed adultery already in his heart. Wow. And then in Malachi chapter 2, God says to the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders of Israel, he says, you do not consider me as your father because you do not honor me. How do I know you don't honor me? How do I know you don't keep my word, will, and ways? Because you're divorcing your spouses with impunity. You're acting treasonously toward my word and my law, God says. Right there in Malachi chapter 2, three times he calls adultery or divorce, he calls adultery treason. Divorce, treason. He says you're dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. Wives, now that you've taken the lead in divorcing husbands, you're also dealing treacherously with the husband of your youth. And somehow we're being told in our churches, that's okay. God will wink at your sin. We're being told the same with regard to premarital intercourse, fornication. Yet the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor practicing homosexuals, and so on, are going to inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said that. Read it. Oh, you don't want to read it, do you? Because it's too convicting. But that's exactly what the Word of God is to do. Convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit was given not just to be our comforter, but to convict us of violation of God's word, will, and ways, starting with his Ten Commandments. That's the starting point. So as the psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, then what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So, this is a big deal. It's a much bigger, it's not just about some, you know, right-wing political thing. It has nothing to do with right-wing politics. It has to do with whether God is God. He either is or he ain't. Texas tried to pass a similar law, but it didn't work out. The bill died on the vine because it didn't get enacted timely. Then MSNBC came down on Louisiana's effort and said, this is a terrible thing to pass a law that requires the Ten Commandments to be posted in all the schoolrooms of Louisiana. Whatever happened to separation of church and state? Well, the Ten Commandments are God's moral law for Jew and Gentile alike. For Jew and Gentile alike. Now, the Catholic Church got rid of one of the commandments, didn't like it, about bowing down to graven images. They got rid of that one. They said, well, that's just supporting Protestant theology. No, it says you shall not bow down to anything else. So we have to decide. The decision is ours. Are we going to agree with God or not? Will we have the Ten Commandments in essence the foundation for all of God's requirements engraved in the membranes of our minds and our hearts as a starting place? It's not the end of the road. It's the foundation. And if the foundation be destroyed, what then can the righteous do? So glad that you joined us here on Viewpoint today. Hopefully this was somewhat helpful, encouraging. And get a copy of the book, The Secret of the Lord. $15 will put the $20 book in your hands. It'll help you to understand the foundation for all of it, including the Ten Commandments, on our website, saveus.org. God bless, be a blessing, and let's honor God with our hearts.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.